Hello, and welcome to the family at World Harvest Outreach.
All hail King Jesus. I'll tell you what, man, I was feeling that today. Jesus, you are strong, you are mighty, and you are among us. Thank you so much for your consistent faithfulness to us. Okay, I want to spend just a few minutes, and I mean that, talking about prophecy from the epistles. Not something we talk about very often, but I'd like to spend just a little bit of time looking at what the latter part of the Bible talks about with prophecy. So, I think Mary's got my verses ready up there. Believe and so. We're going to start at the end of the Bible. I want to start in Revelation 19. I mean, why not just dig into the light stuff, you know, real easy. Nothing meaty or anything. Go right to Revelations. By the end of this, I just really want to have like a simple definition of what it means when we say the word prophecy or when we say we prophesy. I want to give that. I believe that the Holy Spirit is still very much active in and among the body of Christ and in the earth. And I don't know how many people want to agree with this or not, but I think the spirit of prophecy is not limited to Christians. I actually have sensed a very strong spirit of prophecy in places where people would say it was not a Christian environment. I've sensed it in the world. I've sensed it in music. Anybody else? Like you could feel the heart of God wanting to bring forth His thoughts, His intentions in the midst of something that would not be overtly Christian. So I actually find that to be like really cool treasure hunting. Anybody else ever do that? Where you go look for Jesus in places that you would not normally look for Him. Like here should be the place He should be abundantly seen and experienced. But it's way more fun to kind of be that guy that puts on the hat and the miner's light and going looking for Him and exposing Him. Revelation 19, starting in verse 9, says this, "Then He said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" By the way, how many people are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Come on, everybody say everyone. Everyone's invited. But not everyone will accept, and that's the part that hurts my heart so much. Like, I think He's going to make every unbelievable opportunity for the invitation to be known, to be experienced, and He's going to be like, "Come on, I know you want to go. I am making chocolate cake just for you." Like, you know it. Like, I think I'm going to have some later, so I'm pretty excited about it. Right, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And then He said to me, "These are true words of God." I pray that someday I get to the point in my life where everything I say could be followed up by those words. These are true words of God. So let's start with this. Chocolate cake is anointed. Everybody say,
"Amen."
These are true words of God. There we go. Thank you. "Then I fell at His feet to worship Him, but He said to me, 'Do not do that.'" And this is one of the things I was thinking about today when we were all hailing King Jesus. I feel like there's parts and voices in every one of our lives where we have bowed and there's a voice replying saying, "Do not do that." We're bowing at a throne that's not the highest throne. We're bowing at the feet of someone not worth our genuflection. Go look that word up. You're welcome. Just like using big words every once in a while. I don't even really know what they mean, but I think it means, I'm pretty sure it means to like bow or to fall down or something, right? Leslie, help me out here. "Do not do that, because I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. God, may it be said of us that we hold the testimony of Jesus." That we embrace it, we treasure it, we say that it's the most important thing in our lives. This testimony, this showing forth, this declaration of who Jesus is, may it be said of us that we hold this testimony. That we don't testify about lesser things. That we don't testify about lower things or not as important things. But our lives testify of Jesus. And then he tells him to worship God. I believe we did that for the last hour or whatever today. I think we worshiped God today. And I pray that that would be a picture of how we live all week. And then these really important words. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So important. For me, the end of the book shines the light back on the rest of the book as to what prophecy actually is. You've only got a couple more chapters left and then it's the end of the book. And just like the Hebrew, and we've talked about this before, Hebrews read from right to left. You guys know that, right? Like everything is written this way, which is really weird for us because we read left to right. And so if you think about this, I actually think it's healthier for us to read the Bible backwards. To get the heart of God all the way here at the end of Revelation, because there are some really important definitions in this last book of the Bible. If you lift off all of the filters that I believe the last 150 years of the church has put on Revelation, lift that off and read Revelation as simply what it is. It's a revelation of the heart of God, who is Jesus. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is a seen and experienced heart of God. That's who Jesus is. And Revelation is that for us. And so here it is, the absolute purest definition of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. And that is the spirit of prophecy. So undergirding, sourcing, bringing life to what is prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So in other words, what I hear here is the angel declaring, every time you hear a prophecy, look for Jesus in it. Look for his spirit. Look for his nature. Look for the character that you have found in the heart of God. And if it is there, that's prophecy. Now, those of us that have been in the church for a little while have probably heard prophecy that didn't necessarily ring true with you. Have you ever heard that before? Anybody ever say, thus saith the Lord, but the whole time you're thinking, did he really?
Yes.
Yeah? I've heard it. And because, and don't get me wrong, there's some times where the heart of God is angry. If you love people, has anybody ever loved people and been angry with them at the same time? Yeah, your anger is actually born out of love. Same with God's. And so there are going to be times where a prophecy might feel a little more angry. That can be the heart of God. So don't always write off things like that. But at the core of it, you will sense the love of God. You will sense the hope of God. Okay? And this is really important to me, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I believe the spirit of a thing is more important than the thing. Because at the end of the day, that's what transfers. Not the prophetic word. Not the healing. Did the healing come from? Was it sourced in? Was the word coming from the heart of God? Take that. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to carry you. All right, so for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. God, may that which we speak have the spirit of the testimony of Jesus, the showing forth, the heart of God. I want to define this word prophecy for you, just so you can understand it. It actually does mean foretelling or forthtelling. So the idea in the New Testament, when you see the term prophecy, it actually means that it's an inspired speech. Inspired words that specifically point to the future. Okay, that's what the word actually means in the Greek. What is to come, to foretell, to speak under divine inspiration. You guys with me so far? All right. I just want to be a little scholastic with you because it's important for us to understand what this, the definition of this is. So what this means is the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what is to come. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of speaking under divine inspiration. Here's the thing that I think the church really needs to grasp when it comes to prophecy. Please don't tell us what you think's going to happen because of your opinion. Because the spirit of opinion is not the testimony of Jesus. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to dig deeper than what we want for our nation or what we want for the church or what we want for our family. We need to dig deeper than just our opinion of it, because there is a completely pure heart and intention available about everything, about your children, about your work, about your nation, about this church. His heart is full of what is possible after today. And if you tap into that, if we tap into that and begin to speak from that place and urge the heart of God from the ethereal heavenly realm into the natural realm, we begin to create a bright future for the earth. That's prophecy. You guys with me so far? All right. Kind of sounded like you weren't, but that's okay. Prophecy. I'm going to give you my definition. This is Mark's definition of prophecy, okay? This is not like a dictionary definition, though it should be. Okay, prophecy is Jesus' thoughts. If you're writing this down, this would be really good to write down. Jesus' thoughts spoken by humans. Jesus' thoughts spoken by humans. And there's an intent behind these words. Jesus' thoughts spoken by humans with the intent of providing hope, understanding, and security for what is to come. This is prophecy. This is biblical. I even want to say Old Testament, but specifically New Testament. Jesus' thoughts spoken by humans with the intent of providing hope, understanding, and security for what is to come. It is important for Christians, I think more than any other race of people on the earth. And I said race because you are a chosen race, a holy priesthood. That's what Peter calls us, right? Okay. And that chosen race has all kinds of colors, comes from all kinds of nations, right? Yes. But this race of people better know what's going to happen. Hello? I think it's really important that we understand the times and seasons in which we live. And not just the current ones, but the ones that are coming. Because how you live now is the foundation for how you're going to live tomorrow. What I eat today is my energy for tomorrow. Did you guys know that, right? I mean, let's not get overly biological about it, but it could be that simple. What you feast on today becomes your energy, your life source for tomorrow. Okay? So let's feast on the testimony of Jesus, because it is the spirit of what is to come. You guys all right?
Yes.
Good. One more time. Jesus' thoughts. This is prophecy. Spoken by humans with the intent of providing hope, understanding, and security for what is to come. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go there really fast. You are so good. You are on it. For love never fails. Did you guys know that? Love never fails. Can I just say that again? Can you say it to me? No, say it to me. Say it to me. Say it to me. Oh, thank you, Jim. Love never fails. But you know what does? Verse 8. You guys there? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never fails, but prophecy will. What? Didn't we just define it as Jesus' thoughts and intentions? Like, there's going to come a day. I don't think of his terms as far as failing. Actually, what the Greek it means there is that they will eventually not be necessary anymore. That's what it actually means. That there's going to come a day that we live in. I'm praying it comes soon. That we get to a place where prophecy is unnecessary. I'll show you why. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and as a result, we only prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, come perfect, please, the partial will be done away. And he likens the partial to being a child. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child. I used to think like a child. I used to reason like a child. What children do is children don't really know everything that's going on. Okay? They don't know all the circumstances. So they don't know why you can't just buy them whatever they want or do whatever they say. They don't understand all the ramifications that go along with that. And that's exactly what prophecy is. And there's often times where we will say a thing that God is thinking, or we'll understand God this way, and we'll speak it as if it's the whole thing. And God says, there's the danger in prophecy. There's the danger in humans, because we only see in part, because we're not operating according to the full. I used to think like a child. I used to reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but when the perfect comes, we're going to see face to face. Right now, while I'm a child, we only know in part. But then when the perfect comes, I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. This whole time, as we're living in part, as we're living in momentary glimpses of Jesus, as we're having momentary encounters with Jesus, Jesus is in full-time encounter of us. I get so much hope from that verse right there. As I will know fully, just as I am fully known. When we live in this world, and Jesus understands this because he's been tempted in every way to have his heart turn away from God and focus on the things of this world. This is what happens. We are so caught up in work. What else are we caught up in? Really quick. Come on, name things you're caught up in right now.
Entertainment.
Whoa, that was strong. Social media. Politics. Money. Ooh. Kids. What else are we caught up in? Health.
Ourselves.
What other people think about us. Bettering our surroundings. Yeah, that sounds good. How many people are thinking about that right now? Yeah.
Lunch.
Oh, Lord, I just lost everybody right there. All of those things have in it a temptation to pull us away from an ongoing encounter with the one who is ongoingly encountering you. And something takes place, and you know this to be true. Have you ever focused on someone when they're not focused on you? Wives, say amen. Yeah, when you're talking to him, and then you give this whole thing, right? You give this whole story, and then you just sit there and you wait. And you realize he didn't hear any of that. It never happens in my house. You're right, huh? Yeah. It's the Lord has that, and he's just like, he is talking to you and me all the time. All the time. Constantly communicating his heart, constantly communicating his thoughts, his purpose, his will, his love. And every once in a while, we'll catch a glimpse. And then Solomon wrote this in the Song of Solomon. And forgive me for not getting it exactly right. Sorry, Brian Simmons, you're going to feel a little offended here. But it's something like, you have captured my heart, my sister, my bride, with one glance, one turn of your eye. In that moment, you realize you're being fully known all the time. And in that moment, there's a synergy that takes place. It's good when one person's paying attention to the other person, and the other person's just going, da, 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 politics, taking care of the earth, money, lunch. But the whole time, God is like, I have bread you know not of. And what it is my attention on you feeds my soul. My love for you fills my every sense, and I'm overwhelmed by you. And then every once in a while, you turn your head and you catch a glimpse of me being in love with you. And there's a whoosh, an explosion of light that takes place. That is prophecy. The moment where you connect with the unending attention and your attention is turned to the one who is fully attentive on you, and what results from your life are the thoughts and intentions of God through you into the earth. That is prophetic. Heaven invades earth in that moment. The thoughts and intentions of a father who loves all of mankind has a momentary connection, and it goes into the earth. That excites the heck out of me. I will know fully, just as I'm also fully known. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You ought to go look up in the beginning of that chapter how when you don't prophesy in love, what happens? I don't have time to go into that tonight because of where we are. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1. Sometimes it's really important to look at the end of the previous chapter before you go into the next chapter, because 1 Corinthians 13 at the end and 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 are a complete continuation of thought. Don't end with the greatest of these is love. End with the greatest of these is love. Pursue love. Because that's the next words. If it's the greatest thing, that's the thing we should all be after. And if you ask me, pursuing love is the testimony of Jesus, which then in turns becomes the spirit of your words, the spirit of your declaration, the spirit of your heart to every person you encounter. Pursue love. And in my version of the Bible is the word yet. And if you look that word up in the Greek, and it's a little bit of a problem I have, and I think most of the translators, when they were translating the Bible, had a lot of choices to make. And one of the choices is what to do with little tiny words like that. Because in reality, that word in the Greek is the letters D-E. And it can be translated as either yet or but, or, anybody know what the other word is? And. And for me, has anybody ever been talking with somebody else? And they say, like, let's say you're having a conversation with them. And they agree with what you've said, and then they use the word but. Anybody ever heard that? And oftentimes, like I have done that in my own relationships with people, where I'm talking to someone and I receive what they're saying, and then I go, oh, okay, I get that, but. So basically what you did with your but was you took everything that that person in your relationship with just said to you and you flushed it. Another thing, I was talking with someone, we were in a meeting, and we were trying to explain something to this person, and the response was constantly no. Like the first word was no, and then he would explain himself afterwards. No. And after about four times of him saying no, I said, do you realize that you started the last four sentences with the word no? And I had to communicate to him, what you're saying is that what we're saying to you is not accurate. Because you're using the word no or the word but before you respond. So you're throwing out what we're saying. This does that if you're not careful. It says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And if you read that in the context of the word yet or but, because I think those two words are interchangeable, you'll think that love and spiritual gifts are in competition with one another. And you'll feel that. And that is not at all what Paul is saying here. That word, I think, should be and. So I'm not trying to change the Bible. I'm just trying to change the translation of the Bible, because that thing could easily be and. So can we read this together? Pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Something shifts on the inside of us, because now the spirit of the gifts among us are sourced in love, who is Jesus. It feels better to me. It isn't like I either love you or I prophesy to you. Because if I divorce pursuing love from the spirit of prophecy, now I can just tell you exactly what God thinks about you. And love is out of the equation. And then when we're all done prophesying, people can think, huh, and we'll just say, thus saith the Lord. And I will tell you this, it will be void of His Spirit. And I actually think the spirit of the prophecy either legitimizes or I think takes away its authority. Pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And that word again, it has a but there, but it could be either one. It's the same exact word. That you may prophesy. Now the word especially is there. Paul really likes prophecy. And that's the whole reason why I'm talking about it today. Because in the epistles, Paul gives a lot of emphasis to this idea that of all of the manifestations of God in and among people, for him, prophecy was the most important. I do believe there is a ranking of the gifts, more than generosity, more than healing, more than words of wisdom, words of knowledge, tongues. He said, look, especially means of superior quality and importance. That's what the word especially means. Pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And I'm going to put and in there again because I feel like it's better because it's building on itself. The pursuit of love brings forth the earnest desire for spiritual gifts. And of first and foremost priority is that we would prophesy one to another. Okay? That's what he's saying. That we bring light, that we bring hope, we bring an opportunity that, or to speak into the future that it's full of opportunity. That's what it means to prophesy. Okay? Let's just finish up here, then I want to give you a really good example of prophetic. One who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit speaks mysteries. One who prophesies, one who speaks the thoughts and feelings of Jesus, brings hope to the future, edifies himself. Wait, where am I? Sorry. Speaks to men for edification. We're in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 14. I'm talking to me because I asked where I am. I'm talking to myself. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. This is really important. The reason why Paul knows the importance and the superiority of prophecy is that everyone, especially you, needs encouragement. Because we live in a time, Paul did 2,000 years ago, like we think we live in a like a harsh time now where Christianity is really struggling. Holy Hannah. Guys, when they were writing this, do you know how Roman roads and streets were lit at night? You know, don't you? Christians were lit on fire and used to light Roman streets at night. Now, you start living in that kind of culture, you suddenly realize how important prophecy is. Please tell me we have a future with a hope, like Jeremiah said. Please tell me, because right now, I'm next in line to be doused with fuel. So please do not tell me we're living in really rough times. Nonetheless, prophecy is so important even now. We need encouragement. We need light. We need someone to look us in the eye and tell us that the future has a hope, has purpose, that it's worth getting through today to go into tomorrow. Here's what happened. Okay, I am actually going to respect the clock and those who desire lunch. And I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to tell you what I think is currently one of the most prophetic things anyone can tell you right now. And I don't just mean because of the current climate we're in, but at any time in our life, I think one of the most prophetic things I could say to you right now is it's going to be okay. It's going to be great. Here's how I know that's prophetic. Has anybody ever told you it's going to be okay? Let me just raise your hand if someone looked at you and said, it's going to be okay. Did you ever say, uh-uh, in your heart or out loud?
Not even that nicely.
It's when you ask your wife how she's doing and she says, fine. How many ladies have said that? And you do not mean fine. If you look up the definition of that word, that definition for you is very different than that definition for us. Because fine means, whoo, I'm good, another football game, let's go. To her, it's like if you turn that football game on. It's going to be okay. How you respond to that prophetic sound determines the veracity of the prophetic in that word. Let me show you. It's going to be okay. Nope. Your heart position declares that it's going to be okay is false. So now you prepare your heart for what? It's not going to be okay. And if you prepare your heart for it's not going to be okay, how do you live? Talk to me. Give me some definitions. Fear. Because if it's not going to be okay, something's going to go wrong. And so you have to prepare for something going wrong. How do you prepare for something going wrong?
Buy more toilet paper.
Keep going. Think the worst. Okay, so how do you live? Tell me how you live if it's going to be bad tomorrow. You're worried. You're anxious. Huh? Sheltered. Survival mode. No peace. Withdrawn. You isolate yourself. Go ahead. What? You're looking for the bad. You expect the worst. It's going to be okay. No, it's not. You shift the atmosphere with your heart and you say it's not going to be okay, and you fulfill the antithesis of that word. And you begin to create an environment around you that declares that that word will not be true. That's why the spirit of prophecy is more important than the prophecy. Now let's turn it around. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Which means tomorrow will be better than today. Now, if you believe that, how do you begin to live? Open, hopeful, vulnerable, because you know that if it's going to be okay, you're going to be safe. And if you're safe, you can be vulnerable because things aren't going to come to kill you. Joyful. Generous. Take risks. When you know it's going to be okay, you start to take some steps of faith. Somebody else? You invest versus holding up. You're the one that takes the one and sows it, or takes the five and gives it away and invests it. Somebody else? Huh? Takes risks. Did you say something? Thankful. If we could just live from that state alone, of thankfulness, things begin to change around us. So the spirit of prophecy is so important. So when I declare to my environment, to the people in my life, guys, it's going to be okay. That actually means that whatever happens in the natural will be for our good. And what happens is we begin to turn things. Romans 8 says what? He works all things together for good for those who love him. What's his purpose? Go back to the beginning of the verse. I'm going to read it again. He works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. His purpose is to work all things together for good. So if you love him, what is your purpose? To work all things together for good. This is the point of prophecy. The Spirit of Jesus rises up on the inside of people. People turn, see the Lord for who he is, realize he's incredible, that the whole earth is full of his glory. And then you in turn take anything that happens. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter the financial situation. It doesn't matter anything. And you begin to turn it into good. Your prophecies turn into lifestyle. And then your lifestyle becomes a prophecy for the next day. This is biblical prophecy. You can choose to think, oh my God, if this doesn't happen, then we're really all in a sinking ship. And the spirit of prophecy has gone from the testimony of Jesus to the testimony of fear and death. You and I can decide that the heart of Jesus is involved in the future. And we can change anything that takes place. To the point where the guys who were writing this stuff were living in a culture that was the antithesis of the freedom of Christianity. And yet they knew how important prophecy was. It's going to get better. In fact, I believe these guys so lived according to the spirit of prophecy that they saw this time. They saw 2020. and they saw Charlie, and they saw Ariana, and they saw Wayne, and we were free to fully express everything Jesus is. Would there be some persecution? Yeah, like Facebook persecution. Like, seriously, I think you're going to be all right. They're thinking that's how free they are. They're so free that they think someone disagreeing with them on social media is persecution. High five, Peter. High five, Silas. We did it. That's prophecy. Guys, it's going to be okay. Now let your heart turn and align itself with that reality and begin to build your life and the future on that. Amen? Let's stand. Grab family, grab someone that's not your family and act like they are. Stand next. There you go. Good. Good. Be close. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to speak blessing. I'm going to prophesy. You ready? I'm going to even stand up here. Ooh, I took a step up. Father, I speak that these lives have incredible promise and purpose. That they don't just exist for simplicity and for survival, but they exist to be magnificent designers of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. These lives here burn with holy fire. These lives here are creative, imaginative, filled with abundant life, waiting to pour that life out into every situation they find themselves. I prophesy over you that your future is better than your current reality. And your current reality, thinking accurately, thinking according to the purpose of God, which is causing all things to turn into good, will cause other people's lives to turn. I pray that your tongues would be filled with the testimony of Jesus. That you will be so filled with hope, so filled with excited anticipation. I don't even know if that's possible. That you cannot wait to speak what is possible. The opportunities that are available. May your very existence cause eyes and hearts to open to what is possible. Father, season every tongue in this room like salt, that people would be hungry and thirsty for who you are. Fill the earth with light. Fill the earth with encounters with Jesus through these ones. I bless you, and I say how much I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
World Harvest Outreach is located in Chambersburg, PA, USA, but we have family around the world. To connect with us, please visit whocenterpa.com.